Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q1 2010 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must just advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 13th of May, 2010. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Jordi Molina. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Rihanna. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today to the first quarter 2010 results conference. Joining us today in this event, we have Dr. Jorge Gallardo, Chief Executive Officer, Eduardo Sánchez, Chief Financial Officer, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Dr. Per-Olof Andersson, Chief Scientific Officer. I now hand over to Dr. Gallardo for the opening remarks, and at the end of the addressments, we will open a Q&A session.
Thanks, Jordi. Good morning, everyone. Almirall has made a good start in 2010. Our base business is on track and in line with guidance, driven by a steady sales evolution and significant cost discipline achievements. Sales have been slightly eroded as expected, -1%, and our normalized net income is ahead of guidance, +3%. Both EBIT and EBITDA have evolved in line with sales. Cash flow generation remains solid, and net debt reduction anticipates a net cash position in mid-2010. Despite a very challenging environment, our financial expectations for 2010 are reiterated in an increasingly challenging environment, pending on the assessment of the saving measures on healthcare announced yesterday by the Spanish government. This year, we also plan two significant launches, silodosin and Sativex. Both are expected to contribute to 2010 sales and reinforce our core business in Spain and abroad. Our efforts in corporate development continue, partnering key pipeline products, pursuing new licensing opportunities, and evaluating selected acquisitions. We have a strong track record in nourishing our base business, and every year since the IPO, we have been able to materialize some license and/or acquisitions, and we also have a substantial leveraging capacity. We keep our strategic priorities with continued focus on innovation and long-term growth. Our potentially transformational pipeline is moving forward and will deliver significant phase III catalysts in the second half of this year, especially regarding Eglira and linaclotide. A dividend proposal of 0.33 euros per share, which represents +5% over the previous year, will be made to the annual general meeting tomorrow, and our payout policy of 35%-40% remains unchanged. Almirall investment proposition has solid financial fundamentals, no debt, strong cash flow generation, well-diversified portfolio, an executive team with proven track record, and significant upside potential coming from its late-stage pipeline and business development activities. As commented, our 2010 guidance is reiterated. We expect a stable business evolution during this year, with intense phase III news flow and opportunities to materialize new license and acquisitions. Let me now pass the word to my team, and I will come back later with some comments for the future.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jorge. This is Eduardo Sánchez, and I'm going to comment on a few elements on the financial statements. Let me start with the income statement, which, as has just been said, for the first quarter has been very much in line with guidance. Sales have been going down by 1%, and this has been driven primarily by a decrease in our sales to third parties, while the performance of our marketed companies, and including Spain, has shown growth. Luciano will comment on that later. Gross profit has been going down a bit more by 4%, and as you can see also, in terms of percentage on sales compared to the first quarter of last year, we have lost 2 percentage points, but actually, one of them, 1 percentage point, comes from a reclassification in the way we account for royalties. Formerly, we were doing that in the OpEx line, and now we have moved to cost of goods. So basically, that increases cost of goods in this quarter by 1 percentage point, and the other percentage point is coming basically from a mix of products. On the operating expense side, also very much in line with what we announced at the beginning of the year. So R&D expenses are growing versus last year, a reflection again of the phase 3 studies that we are performing with aclidine bromide. While on the other hand, we continue to exercise significant discipline on the management of selling general and administrative expenses. They are 12% down versus the same quarter of last year. In terms of percentage on sales, they have been evolving from 39.5% on sales last year to 35% this year. It's true, as I just indicated, that part of the decrease is due to this reclassification in the accounting process from OPEX to cost of goods, and also to some phasing elements. So this figure will still increase a bit in the rest of the year as percentage on sales. But again, we will continue to exercise substantial discipline on this element. EBIT altogether is going down by 0.6%, very much also in line with what we indicated at the beginning of the year. When we evaluate the net income performance, for the total net income, it is down 20%, very much explained by the fact that we have a substantial amount of extraordinary income during the first quarter of last year related to the sale of some non-core products in Spain. And that basically pushed the result in the first part of the year up substantially. So if we exclude that effect and we look at into the normalized net income is actually up by 3% compared to the same quarter of last year. Now moving on to some key elements of the balance sheet, there are not too many things worthwhile to note. Perhaps just to indicate a temporary increase in accounts receivables. This is seasonal. We have seen the same situation every year. And that again will go down as the next quarters. On the other hand, we have also been bringing down our debt, and actually we are moving from a net debt situation very shortly into actually a net cash position. So our net debt is very low right now, and it would equate to again almost 0.09 times the EBITDA of 2009. So again, very minimum net debt. Are moving very shortly into a net cash position. And that also is reflected in the cash flow generation. So our free cash flow generation for the quarter has been positive, albeit smaller than last year for the reasons I just indicated. On the one hand, the profit before tax was stronger in the first quarter of last year. We also have had a temporary effect on the other adjustments linked particularly to the calendar of payments on taxes by our tax authorities. But again, hopefully this is an event that we expect to reverse in the next quarter. Otherwise, also the cash flow indicates the payment of the first part of the two installments we had to pay during the year. We just did one to repay and amortize part of the debt, so that is also reflected in the cash flow. But altogether, as I just indicated, we continue to have a strong free cash flow generation as we have had in the past. So with that, I'm going to pass the word now to Luciano Conde.
Thank you, Eduardo. Good morning to all participants. I intend to guide you through the operation results in the first quarter of 2010. Our results are aligned with our guidance for 2010, the main evolution coming from our affiliates, with the main four countries growing single digit. Some others grow double digit, like Poland and Mexico. The licensing income decline is due to a vesting in Japan. A low season has reduced the demand, and together with some stock rationalization program by our partner there, have led to this decline. All the other partners' territories are evolving as planned. Spain has shown its business resilience in the quarter, showing growth. The decline in corporate sales is due to the announced phasing off of our low-margin toll manufacturing business. This business will gradually disappear in the near future as the existing agreements gradually expire. The picture by territorial split shows almost the same picture that described before. The growth coming from our European business amounting for 30% of our total turnover today, while the other parts are affected as previously commented. When taking a look at the main products, the first point I would like to make is that we have increased the disclosure of product figures to 5 more, and we have included some additional information on territories and ownership. The most important aspect, however, is the evolution, is the result of some products showing outstanding evolution, like FEC Tesavel, which is now the third product in the anti-diabetic DPP-4 market in Spain, or Sidin, Paratres, Esertia, or Solares, all growing double-digit. Some old products show their resilience, like Almogran, Opiren, Artal, Banyun, and Almax, It is important to note that in this particular subset of five products, only Almogran is patent protected. Avast sales decline was explained before. The spring in Europe and its pollinic effect are announced by the experts to be strong. If that is the case, we will have a chance to recover the growth of our competitive situation in our main countries is strong. Regarding Prevencor, the negative evolution is due to the generic cannibalization caused by the generic launch last year. We continue to increase our focus in our core therapeutic areas, and they continue to weigh more in our portfolio. Respiratory decline is due to Vastel, and as commented before, we aim to recover it. Our program to concentrate manufacturing continued as planned, and we don't foresee any delay. And with this, I will move to Per.
Thank you, Luciano, and good morning, everyone. From an R&D point of view, let me start, obviously, with our respiratory pipeline and Acclerac Lidinium. As you might remember, we announced in January positive results from the first Phase 3 study with Acclerac BID in COPD. Two other Phase 3 studies are now ongoing and progressing well, so we are on track to delivering, as promised, top-line results by the end of this year or early 2011. Together with the ongoing long-term safety studies, this completes the package, and we aim to file in the EU and in the US during 2011. With regard to the next project, the fixed-dose combination of aclidinium and formoterol, the two Phase 2b studies are well on their way and will report on time also at the end of this year. At the American Thoracic Society next week, we will present a number of posters on aclidinium as well as on the reliability and performance of our January inhaler to be used with all our inhaled products. As for the aclidinium presentations, I would draw your attention particularly to two: the Phase 2 crossover study versus tiotropium and placebo, and the exercise endurance study. At the ATS, we're also presenting for the first time preclinical as well as clinical data on our once-daily long-acting beta agonist, 10977. Of particular interest here is the first study in asthmatic patients. This compound is now progressing with Phase 2b study scheduled to start later this year. Our dermatology pipeline is also progressing, and we're expecting to present significant new clinical data during this year. As for our in-license portfolio, let me start with Sativex that we have in-licensed from GW Pharma for EU except the UK. Here the DCP process are ending, and we expect formal approval in the UK and in Spain later this quarter. Following the approval in the UK, we will then be able to file for approvals in further EU countries. Finally, linaclotide, in-licensed for the EU from Ironwood for IBS with constipation. Ironwood has just reported that recruitment has been finalized in the two Phase 3 studies, and the top-line results are expected during the fourth quarter. So also this project is on track. This is an important project for us given the high unmet need and the lack of available treatment for this condition. So to summarize, as you can understand, we have a very active pipeline, and we expect a significant number of important clinical data during the second half of this year. Thank you very much, and now I'll hand back over to Jorge Gallardo.
Thank you, Per. Some closing remarks now. As we all know, we are transitioning a challenging healthcare environment and in the context of unprecedented financial market stress. These challenges are not company-specific, but industry-wide. In the current market turmoil, where governments are looking to reduce their budgets, healthcare is an obvious target. The current environment, therefore, holds many unknowns. And 2011 will likely be a challenging year, not only for Omnilab, but for all healthcare companies. As you might know, yesterday the Spanish Prime Minister announced a savings package of public expense that will affect pharma companies, although it's still early to assess its potential impact. The priority of this management is to transition our product portfolio as smoothly as possible. Midterm business evolution will combine with tight P&L management, the ramping up of new products, 3 launches in 2009, 2 new launches expected in 2010, and corporate development additions. Continuous strong adaptive measures will remain a key priority for management during this period. Beyond that, we expect to materialize the opportunities from our late-stage pipeline and leveraging our international presence. We have the opportunity, the capacity, and the determination to do so. Now, Jordi, I think we can move to the Q&A.
Thank you very much to all. Back to you, Rihanna, for Q&A, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you then wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question today comes from Jamie Clark of Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning. I have a few questions, please. Firstly, on Spanish healthcare reform, you said it's too early to assess the impact on yourselves, but could you give an idea of what the, what the moving parts are from those reforms? Secondly, on acquisitions and in-licensing, can you give an idea of whether you're still looking at in-licensing products for Spain, or are you now concentrating on pan-euro basis? And what's your capacity to leverage up your balance sheet to make acquisitions? And finally, on the Linaclotide, you have a pan-European license. Can you give an idea of where you are in partnering discussions for the product outside of Spain? Thanks.
I will answer your first question about the Spanish measures. All we know now is that it's going to affect the part of the market that is innovation. As you probably know, in late March, there was a royal decree where generics were reduced 25%, and their reference price system was also, let's say, made it tougher, because the reductions for the reference price were driven from 30% to 50%. Well, so all we know now is that this part is not going to be affected, but on the contrary, the innovation part is the one that is going to it's going to be probably with a price reduction. But we don't know yet the extent of this measure.
Okay. Let me address, this is Eduardo, on the other questions you were asking. On the one hand, related to M&A and in-licensing, you know, as we have said all along, we continue to have high priority on those elements. For in-licensing, yes, we continue to pursue opportunities at pan-European level, and we also, at the same time, continue to pursue opportunities at the Spanish level. As always, you never know for sure what will be the outcome, but you know, as we speak, we are engaged in discussions on both fronts, so this continues to be a priority for this company. When it comes to M&A, we have indicated that yes, we are still very much interested in evaluating and eventually performing acquisitions in selected areas. We have a very healthy balance sheet. We have a substantial debt capacity. We realize that obviously banks are under a lot of stress, but still the business of banks is to make money by lending money. And I think that we are one of those companies that is in a very healthy situation, and at least based on the discussion that we have had so far, we could be generating a substantial amount of money if needed to perform acquisitions. We are looking more for incremental or sort of bolt-on acquisitions more than a total transformational sort of acquisition, but certainly this still continues to remain as a significant priority for us. When it comes to the partnering for acrylic bromide, the priority for this year... let me make a comment about acrylic bromide since I've touched on that topic. We indicated in the past that the acrylic bromide, we are putting the priority for this year in partnering in Japan, while partnering in Europe will be more a priority for next year. We also consider, obviously, at the same time, some other geographies around the world, but in terms of key geographies, that's where we are putting the focus. When it comes to linaclotide, we're still assessing basically the amount of effort required, and it would be too early to talk about any potential partnering activities in that area.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Your next question today comes from Kerry Holford of Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Just to follow up on the earlier question, is there any idea on when the Spanish government may be a little bit more explicit on what to expect for branded drug pricing cuts? And secondly, LAS10977, is that also in development as a monotherapy, or are you only now looking at this in combination with a steroid?
The first part, we expect news next week about the measures.
Okay.
Kerry, this is Per. For 10977, we are developing this as a fixed combination. We see the fixed combination with an inhaled corticosteroid where the market is going for asthma in particular, but also for COPD.
Okay, so there's no monotherapy development in either indication for that one?
Obviously, we will do studies, and we have done studies with the monotherapy as part of the development program, but not with a specific intention of getting that product marketed.
Understood. Thank you.
Your next question today comes from Maria Marin of BBVA. Please ask your question.
Hello, thanks to take my question. I have two questions. My apologies to insist in the reform, healthcare reform in Spain. I think the situation for 2011 is becoming tougher, and we appreciate a lot more color on the potential impact due to the new measures presented by the government. So it would be very useful a figure of which is your percentage of sales in Spain which exceed the reference prices, I mean, which are already covered by patent. And second question is regarding the second measures of limiting the units sold per patient to patients' needs. My question is, how is going the company to implement these measures, and which is the time frame that the company would need to implement the measure, and in which product would make sense to do that?
Well, let me first address your first question. As you know very well, we cannot speculate about things that we don't know when it's going to happen or when they are going to happen. So when, as soon as we have clear-cut impact defined into our portfolio, obviously we will include this in our guidance. But let me address it, let's say, laterally. Without taking into consideration the measures announced yesterday that we still don't know how intense they will be or how powerful or how they will affect our portfolio, and since then they will be applied, let's say, we have not modified our guidance for 2010. So, let's say, regardless of all the previous measures from the government and taking into consideration the current ups and downs in situations and unclear things, because even with the previous decree, it's not clear when some things will be applied or how they will be applied, which still need clarification. After our initial analysis and looking at the realities of our portfolio and our push for our products as well, we have not modified our guidance so far. So I think this is the best I can tell you in this regard. Regarding to the second question, well, this is not up to us, because I understand that this is something that will be done by the pharmacist. So it's not up to us to define how this will be done. And obviously, it has a substantial challenge to be implemented. Having said so, let me tell you that at least in our particular case, as most of our products are more for chronic indications, we would not expect substantial impact in our current product portfolio, because already our presentations are normally one-month treatment in most of the cases. So I would not expect a significant effect in our manufacturing capabilities or to require substantial investment to change our current capabilities. We see this more as a measure that will be have to handle by pharmacists. We still don't know how, because obviously pharmacists have or may have or may have not the capabilities to do it in-house. And furthermore, you know, if they manipulate the products, then the liability moves to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because then obviously the chain is open, and then this is something that needs to be clarified by the government also how they are going to tackle this situation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Building on that, Maria, I think that you know, we understand and empathize with the many questions we are receiving from investors and analysts regarding 2011, but there are still quite a number of unknowns regarding the actual implementation of the first set of measures that was identified by the government, not to mention, of course, the ones that were mentioned yesterday. So it is very hard for us even to yet fully appreciate the impact to be able to make any pronunciation on 2011. So first, I mean, let's progress in 2010. And we will see. The only thing I would like to insist on top of that is that we will continue to exercise many of the elements that also the Gallardo was referring to earlier, and I think that we have shown that we have the ability to do that, and we have again shown that over the last couple of years. But in terms of very tight P&L management, in terms of the ramp-up of our new products, which are growing very nicely, in terms of the continuation of our business development activities, those are the three axes that we intend to continue leveraging in order to help us navigate through the difficult weather that we have ahead of us. We have been selling assets, we are in the process of concentration of manufacturing sites, so again, we are trying to really focus on all the core things and manage the business very tightly in order, again, to try to minimize the impact and continue to progress towards eventually, again, the significant opportunities that we have in the midterm with our pipeline.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question today comes from Joe German of Citi. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi there. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to have one more go. Just in terms of your current sales, so of your 2009 sales, of the sort of four top products that are currently, you know, at least part of the sales of those are within reference price groups, can you just give us any sense of how much of the sales of those sort of four products, you know, Avastin, Atorvastatin, Lansoprazole, Venlafaxine, are actually already, how much of percentage of value are already in a reference price group in Spain? Secondly, just if you can help me understand, you know, if on your, for products that are in license, if you take a price cut on the top line of 8%, 20% or whatever it could be, is there any offset on that, depending on the terms of the in-licensing deal? Or does that drop straight to your bottom line? I'm just not quite sure from an accounting point of view whether there's obviously some reduction in sort of equivalent royalties or something that may essentially share that impact with the companies that you've been licensed it from. And finally, just one for Perola. On the once daily Labra, clearly, you know, your embargo's on the ATS abstract, so can't really talk about that. But just running into that, can you just remind us of what are the key areas we should be looking at in this data to determine how this product would differentiate potentially from the other competitors in development?
Well, I will start. Obviously, your questions are very broad, and maybe I'm not able to address them all. But first, in relation to your question about the first four products, as we mentioned before, some of them, let's say, are still showing nice growth. For Avastin, we still aim to recover and expect that to show positive growth for the end of the year. In the case of Prevencore, it very much depends on how the measures will be applied. Let me tell you that at this stage, we still do not know how the situation will be at the end of the year. And furthermore, some funny things may happen because obviously we are fighting in court for some possibilities that we have. So depending on the results of this situation, the outcome can be rather positive or rather negative. We don't know. So we have to speculate, and we have our own internal assumptions, obviously, but we are never disclosing individual guidance for particular products. So what I can tell you is that, again, I reiterate what I said before to Maria, that we have made our internal work based on certain assumptions that we believe that are cautious or they are conservative. And based upon these assumptions, we still maintain that for our whole portfolio in 2010, we expect that we have, we reiterate our guidance of the previous objectives for the year. Regarding the second question was more about the, okay, regarding the what you asked about the cut for the product that we have licensed, this very much depends on product by product, you know, because obviously contracts are not always homogeneous and not equal, but let's say in general, this is an aspect that is foreseen in the contracts, and obviously in that particular case, there is some arrangement as how this should be shared between the parties.
So we would be erring very much on a worst case if we were to drop 100% of a price cut through.
That would be sure the worst case, but I would say that this is unlikely to happen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that is the case. I mean, obviously also in most of the cases there is a sort of floor or a button below which, you know, then obviously that would put more burden on us. but this is more product specific. The two indeed, as Luciano indicated, that we have the potential to be more affected in the short term are atorvastatin and citalopram. But again, the situation in terms of cost adjustment is very much you know, different from product to product, but there is some room for sharing some of the pain with the licensor.
That's helpful, thank you.
So, Joe, this is Per. With regard to 10977, I think what you should look at is the study in asthma patients on the overall efficacy, especially compared to the reference that is in that study, which is salmeterol BID. I think that will be a very interesting study. And obviously, we will show evidence, clear-cut evidence, of 24-hour coverage.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you then wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your next question today comes from Manuel Laurent of Chevreau. Please ask your question.
Hi, sorry to come back again with the deficit plan issue. Just to make the things as clear as possible, is it fair to say that yes, there is still low visibility in the whole package message, but with the best assumptions that you have already made, you have made your math, and the conclusion is that they will not have a significant impact in your results this year, and therefore that is why you are keeping the guidance today. Thank you.
Again, let me also try to be as clear as I can. It's still going to be full of gray areas, but let me also try to share our position. What we had indicated and our verbatim up to yesterday was basically that in view of the first set of measures that was basically announced by the Spanish government, we felt that despite the pressure, we could still manage the P&L in a way that we could stay within the guidance that we indicated for 2010. We had to put a caveat to that consideration yesterday with the announcement that was made yesterday in the second set of measures, because we still need to understand a bit better what is going to be announced in more detail, and we still need to make the assessment on that. So our position of reiterating our guidance basically includes the potential impact of the first set of measures, but not the second set of measures, which we still need to evaluate in more detail.
Okay, and regarding this second type of measures, according with the information, the government expects to achieve a target of close to 300 million euros. How do you evaluate that target? Do you think that it's a material cut for the sector, a slightly cut for the sector?
Can you repeat the questions, please? The last part.
Yes, the size of the measure, as far as I know, correct me if I'm right, is something close to 300 million euros.
No, it's much more than that.
It's more than that?
Yes.
Okay.
We have to speculate, but it's, they're talking about, it depends, because if we're talking about ex-factory price or you're talking about public price, this is a difference of 40%. But it's more around 1,000 million euros, what they say in the public price.
But Manuel, this is very highly speculative at this point. I mean, we are trying to interpret something that is still not very clear. So I'm afraid that this kind of discussion can be more misleading than helpful. You know, as soon as we become aware of relevant changes that may affect our guidance, we will communicate that. Mm-hmm. But we are not there yet.
Okay, thanks.
Once again, that's star 1 if you wish to ask a question.
Well, no more questions. Thank you all very much for your interest and for your participation in our event today, and have a good day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.